Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Bam Erickson here with Power After Show for Season 5, Episode 8, titled A Friend of the Family. Damn. Kanan's gone.
Come on, son.
New sales and great brands happening every morning.
Not only is Kanan gone, but we have some special guests in the building. We got 2Bit and we got Spanky. Let's go.
Yes, sir.
AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
You know what I'm saying? Get the strap.
Hey, yeah. What? It's about to pop off. Hey! Go get the strap.
And I think 50 verse was the hardest.
The hardest. I told him now.
Thank you.
I just want to do that thing.
Yeah, but 50 can't do it.
And the video was tight too.
That video,
the video was crazy.
The song is a hit.
Yeah, this joint's a hit.
What up, everybody? Again, this is Bam Erickson, and I would like to introduce the panel.
Hey, it's your man Jimmy V.
It's Jill Monroe.
What up, though? It's Robin Ayers. Hey. And you got y'all know. Bam told you. Y'all know what it was. We've been promoting this. We got our fam in the building today. Here with us, we got. Y'all know him as 2Bit, but we got Michael J. Ferguson.
Welcome.
And we got our other family on Skype with us. He's joining us. You guys know him as Spanky. He's 2Bit's partner.
Yep.
We got Omar Scroggins in the building,
my
too.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Welcome.
So, Omar, you had, and I'm not saying this to be petty, but you had two lines in last night's episode, but the two lines that you says was classic. You said, motherfucker got that right. And then he told Crystal Ball, you looking casket.
Get sharp.
And he improv that line.
I was going to ask.
What? He improv that line, yeah.
Okay, then.
Delivery.
No. I definitely improv that line right there. They asked me to do something else because I only had one line, and then I was like, well, I got to come up with something, and that's the first time I saw him in a suit, so, you know, he's a model like that, so.
Shout out to Matt Sedona.
Man, shout out to your comedic chops.
Yeah,
wow.
You got him. Yeah. Super talented.
I want to say that the addition of you two to the cast has really been exciting for me in season 5. I love your one-liners, the chemistry that you guys have together, and I love the dynamic that it adds in.
Yeah.
I totally agree. And you guys came about, I want to say, was it season 2-ish?
I came in season 2.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Omar came in season 3.
Okay.
Season 3, right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was trying to remember the storyline, but did it have something to do with giving some pivotal information? Because...
Yeah, that was season 3. Basically, there was a hit out on Tommy, and Dre was visiting the hood and chopping it up with 2Bit, so they smoking.
Mm-hmm.
And 2Bit, he put Dre on... Like, yo, they about to kill your boy.
Mm-hmm.
But 2Bit was kind of like, he didn't really do it to help. He just did it to kind of rain on Dre's parade because Dre left the hood and he was doing a thing in the club with Ghost. At that point.
Can we figure out what that sound is?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's crazy, right?
Yeah. But while we're trying to figure out this, while we're trying to figure out the sound, for you, Omar, I'm curious, how did you get this role? Because I feel like you're perfect, spot on. So I wonder, did you audition for it? Then did the two of you have a chemistry? Like what? Give us a breakdown.
It was like I auditioned for it. My agent called me and then he said I had a audition for Power. So I'm like, wow. I was like, I just visualized being on Power from the first two seasons. I just kept telling people, yeah, well. Wait till you see me on Power.
Law of attraction
fire.
On
that's
that
fire.
Ass.
That's right.
You know that's how you got to do it. So when I got the audition, I was like, wow. So I went.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And like I had a fake blunt rolled up and I went in and I lit it like this is what it is, like, you know, and I did it just like that. And by the time I went downstairs, my agent was like, called me on the phone like, oh, they just picked you. So I was like, oh my God. So then I met Mike the day of shooting. Like we met each other, and then he told me his story about being an extra to actually getting the part, because you auditioned for the part two, right?
Yeah, season two. Like season one, I was an extra. The camera never saw me, but I was there since season one.
Right.
Season two, I was an extra. I was an extra. I was in Dre's gang. Like that was in Dre's gang, gang member,
little squad. Yeah.
And I think episode 5, they gave me the opportunity to audition, and I auditioned and booked it.
Yeah, that's what's up. Someone said in here, Alejandro said, it should be Dre and 2Bit, not Dre and Cristobal. And they said Cristobal should start his own cartel. And then Original24 says, Spanky is low-key a comedian. And I agree with that for real. Yeah.
Omar, how long have you been in the game for now, man?
Oh, man. Literally 26 years.
Hey, he's a vet. Look at that. That's a vet right there.
He's a vet.
Yeah. 26 years. A lot of commercials. But you know, it's just something that I loved, and it was just like I can't stop until something happens, and then Tower came, and then it was just like perfect. It was a perfect marriage.
Facts. There you go.
Beautiful.
And then we got a couple more questions. Do we have any from the live chat? Because we literally have a live chat that is watching and listening.
Wow.
And so they're, you know, they
have
hundreds of people in here, and they're dropping comments. So I wanted to see if there's anything the fans want to ask.
I mean, they're saying all kinds of stuff up in here, but they're showing you guys a lot of love, and they see, like we see, that the chemistry between you two is great, and hopefully that expands. You know what I'm saying? You guys get to do a lot more, and we're hoping for these one-liners to continue, Omar.
Right?
it's similar to like we've got a few in the show already. Like Shane, he's really good at his like little subtleties and stuff.
Shane.
Yeah.
Shane's ass.
Exactly. So Zach. Right. As well as Cristobal in the show. Yeah, like he does some subtle. Macedonio. He's great. And so to have that as an addition is really, really fun to watch. Yes.
Okay, so I have to be just a little I have to be a little petty, because I think that 2Bit and Spanky are great characters, and we love to watch them on TV. But as far as their position and being a part of the organization,
runners,
I don't see a future for them.
Especially killing them off?
Yes.
Now that Kanan's gone.
They picked the wrong
side.
Dre's about to go down.
I'm going to go into 2Bit a little bit. Just as soon as we let Omar go, I'm going to get into his character a little bit more. But Omar seems to be obedient. And so now that Kanan's gone, and Kanan promised him, you know, basically you'll be able to eat and, you know, you'll go with me. But now with Kanan gone and the 2Bit's attitude toward Dre, I think he's going to F it up for the both of them. So I'm just, tell me something about where's your storyline going?
I mean, like, you know, I can't tell you too much because I don't want to get fired.
Right. No, we need you there.
I'm still trying to report the set, but
I need my job, but at the same time, like, when you're dealing with the street element like that, and you're dealing with a character like Spanky, just like that, like, the first thing that I say is that Dre is a grimy street dude like me. That's the first thing. That's the first thing you hear me talk about. So that has to be revisited at some point. Yeah, I'm playing my position, but I got 4 eyes. I'm seeing everything.
Yeah. Okay.
With the glasses on.
Let it be known.
Look, if you play a chess game, the pawn could become the queen if you move them right.
Okay.
He's dropping jewels.
Hey, dropping jewels.
And chat room, take notes.
Yeah. For real.
So that's just that's how we're doing that. It's way more to Spanky than what you think it is. You feel me? So,
okay.
He's giving us.
I hope that if your characters make it out alive, I really hope that we see more, because like I said, it's a great duo of the two, and I mean obviously there's other characters that they have to focus on, but I really want to see more. If I don't see more, then I have to, you know.
I'm saying, that's what I'm saying. The expansion this season, the inclusion, their scenes have been pivotal and funny. Mm-hmm. Funny. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's an important thing.
Speaking of glasses, you posted a picture of yourself, because you kind of do look like David Ruffin.
You mean Leon from the Temptations movie?
Yeah. Yeah. He does favors. So do you get that a lot? Do people come to you and really think that you're Leon?
No, it's crazy. Like, first of all, because I don't wear glasses. I'm just wearing glasses for the character. Like, I picked them solely for the character. So what I usually get is like Martin Lawrence. That's what I usually get.
Okay.
Wow.
But the funny thing about the David Ruffin thing is that the people used to think that my father was David Ruffin.
Oh, wow.
Back in the day, the real David Ruffin. Like, so okay. it's coming right back around. It's crazy.
Right. So, Omar, I'm curious. You know, obviously, you've been in the game for 26 years, and something had to tell you that you had a little bit more, you can do something a little bit different to land auditions and things like that. What made you, you know, bring on the glasses? What made you roll up a blunt and get your audition? What said, you know, this is going to be a good idea?
It's like I started to just study more, and I started to actually try to do method more so than anything and hone in my craft. So when I started to feel sharp, and I started to feel like it was easy for me to use props, and it was easy for me to do certain things, I went for broke because it was power.
Man. So,
yeah, you
got and then being on it, it grew me as an artist so much. It's just like, I'm so appreciative of the opportunity that Courtney and 50 and everybody else, you know, actually gave us.
For sure. And I have one last question for you. Can you think of maybe one of the biggest nuggets that you learned from any of the actors on the show that you're going to take with you moving forward in your career?
Well, I'm the first person that I actually met after one of the regulars, one of the stars of the show, was Joe Secor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when I met him and he told me, he said, just trust yourself.
Mm-hmm.
He said, what I saw on the first episode that I saw you on, I was like, wow, he's really got something. He said, so always trust yourself, and no matter how long it took you, just know that you need to trust yourself, and you're always going the right place. And it just got a whole boost of confidence, and then now we're here.
That's amazing. That's I love that.
That's big.
Let everyone know where you could be found on social media before we wrap with you.
Well, right now, because I'm new to the social media game, when it comes down to that, I told you I've been in the game for 26 years, so I'm a dinosaur when it comes down to it.
Oh, hey, right now.
Okay, so what I put up there so people could know who I am, I put up Spanky _ power 360.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, 360 is the O, so, you know, and
oh my. Oh, that's what's up. Okay. Very cool.
Uh-huh. So listen, if you ever are in Los Angeles, we want you to stop by the studio.
Stop on by, man.
All jokes aside, you know, I love to kill people, but I you'll be back season 6, so
nobody's safe.
Nobody's safe.
Safe, but I will predict. I feel that your character will be back, and so when you're in LA next year, please come back for season 6.
Absolutely. Yeah.
In fact, that is true.
I definitely will. I appreciate you. I definitely will.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Omar.
Okay, so let's get a little bit more into your storyline. So,
okay, Francis.
Francis and Spanky, they're sitting down, and he says, Tupac says, Diego done, but your boy Ghost never showed up. The other boy, Kanan, did. And so he was like, well, did you shoot him? He's like, no. He's like, why? Because that ain't what you told me to do. Remember, I do shit your way and your way only. Like you said, kill Ghost. You ain't say nothing about Kanan. Then Spanky jumps in with that line, and then Andre says, "Well, why the fuck didn't you call me, man?" Francis slams down the magazine. He does that little pout thing he does. He goes, because you ain't tell me to. Dre says, well, all right, and that Ghost and Kanan are working together, and that Kanan was sent to do his dirty work, but when y'all need... when that word gets clean, when you get a clean shot, take him out. Then Two-Bit says, well, shit, if I would have known that, I could have popped him right there. Mm-hmm. We had him dead in our tracks. Then Crystal Ball comes in and he makes a comment. So, is it just me? I think Two-Bit runs his mouth too much. And let me explain why. Yeah. So, yes, in fact, Two-Bit was right when he said, the last time I didn't follow the instructions, I was demoted. So, I'm doing what you did.
Right.
So, Dre had to hold, he had to bite his tongue. He was like, okay, you know what, you're right. Okay, so the next time this happens, just take him out. But it's the extra stuff. He's like, Two-Bit's like that character where... he's like that annoying coworker when there's a group of people at lunch and then he comes in and just tries to take over the conversation. He runs his mouth. Two-Bit runs his mouth too much. Well, and for me, that is going to be the downfall.
I said we're going to let you get a second.
Listen,
in.
Go in.
Put your toe in it.
Go in.
I said that when 2-Bit went to Kanan and just started talking, he started talking too easily. That's not the move. Although that's what it was predicted. You know, I think we talked about that, but I felt the same way.
Mm-hmm. I definitely liked the shot that he gave back to Dre, even though the first time did slip up on that there. But as far as you spilling the beans to Kanan and saying everything, you know better than that, man. Well, character-wise, of course, but you know better, man.
Salty about the demotion, trying to get his new way into a new organization because he sees he's not going very far in this one over here.
So then,
I also think that I do think that I like, on the flip side, I do like how 2-Bit is manipulating the situation a little bit. Like, he's like what you said before, you was like, who you talking to, right? Yeah, it's almost like, who you talking to? Okay, like, I'm gonna show you. I got you. It's one of those, you know what I'm saying? So it's two-sided for me.
So then where do we go now? So like I said earlier, with Kanan gone, and the plan was for them to work with Kanan, with the Italians. Yeah. So with him gone, and the roller coaster relationship between 2-Bit and Dre, and then you have Crystal Ball, who... 2-Bit clearly doesn't like, so I'm just, what do you guys think? What happens next?
My predictions are so on point. I can't wait. All right, so as far as...
talk about yourself, Jimmy. Go
Crystal
ahead.
Ball, right? Uh-huh. He's got that one line where he mentioned about running the clubs back in the day. Uh-huh. When Dre gets popped, because I know Dre's going to die, if not this
die,
episode,
jail,
next
something.
One, I think he will be taking over Dre's whole clubs and all that stuff, because he already got introduced to the girl.
To Quinn.
Quinn, yeah.
You guys think they're going to smash?
You know, Quinn's... but Quinn always seems a little, like, available.
I'd be like, are they flirting? Is she flirting or is she... I like her. First of all, I like her character a lot, because I'm like, let me learn a little something. Yeah. The way she does her thing. But it's halfway confidence, halfway business, and then the other part is just sexy. Like, she's trying to, you know... So, you never know. Did you ask, are her and Crystal Ball going to crack it off?
Yeah.
Quite possibly. I don't know.
So, Michael.
Yes.
So, regarding 2-Bit, Francis, what's your take on how you portray this role? Because there's a lot of things that I feel like you as an actor, you bring to the character, which makes him lovable, hateable, even more than what was written on paper.
I got two things. Mm-hmm. The first thing about 2-Bit running his mouth too much, I just feel like he speaks from his heart. Mm-hmm. So however he feels, he's going to speak on. He's not like, he's similar to Tommy in that way. Mm-hmm. And with Dre's like more deceptive and more manipulative. So he'll bite his tongue to set a situation up. So that's why 2-Bit is always going off, because he's real.
Yeah.
And Dre's like a liar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's like Ghost. It's kind of like Ghost and Tommy.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the second thing is, as far as like 2-Bit running his mouth to Kanan, you got to remember, 2-Bit is he's not emotional, but he's like passionate. So he was in season 2, Brock got killed. Mm-hmm. Y'all remember Brock?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Antoine, my boy, yeah. My boy Antoine. Yeah, he's cool. Yeah. Antoine Harris. But Brock got killed, and he got the way Brock got killed, he got betrayed by Dre. Uh-huh. So Dre, I didn't understand why Dre killed Brock in that way. Mm-hmm. Like 2-Bit doesn't know, mm-hmm. but Kanan made Dre kill Brock. Kanan gave Dre a gun and said, kill him. Mm-hmm. And so to me, instead of killing Brock, he should have killed Kanan. Mm-hmm. That's his, like, that's it's, all three, 2-Bit, Brock, mm-hmm. Dre, they all grew up together. They were like the best of friends coming up. Uh-huh. So then one day, suddenly, Brock disappears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like, that's weird. But, and then Dre's lying about it. So when Kanan says that, 2-Bit, when Kanan tells 2-Bit, like, mm-hmm. Dre killed Brock, 2-Bit always had like a funny feeling about it. And then it's basically like, because he's so truthful and like, and he just says what's on his heart, he can't help but to talk to Kanan and tell him that.
Yeah. Oh wow. Yeah. That's okay. Some good backstory right there. You know, right. Like, I'm all into it. I'm like, what happened?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. Good insight.
We're gonna get a little bit more into that, but let's go into some other topics. So obviously we're gonna talk about the big moment, but a lot of people were like, they had tons of questions that they wanted straight from Queen Courtney.
Yeah.
So we did. We asked the questions, and so now Robin is going to report as Courtney in regards to some of the questions about last night's episode.
I mean, it was good.
You got the inside scoop. Yeah.
Got the inside scoop. Shout out to TK. What up, Courtney? Thank you so much for giving us that inside, you know, information. So the question was asked, how, because many people do wonder, how do they decide who's going to die this season, right, yeah. which episode, and all of that. So, you know, obviously 50 or Kanan was a big deal. So the question was, who decided that it was his time to go? And according to Courtney, like, they had to figure out, they discussed it amongst themselves, like, you know, okay, what is the best time? We're going to figure it out, and this is the way that it's going to go. So he did have some insight, you know, into his own death. And she mentioned on the inside, I don't know what you call it, the edition or the inside story part.
Inside the World of Power, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Break it down now. Okay, thank you. But she mentioned that they shot it two ways.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah.
They shot it two ways, one with him being injured and the other one with him dying. And then I guess
because we didn't know whether he was going to live or die. We knew he got shot up.
Yeah.
But we didn't know if he was going to ride off into the sunset.
Right.
And escape like how he did in season 3. Mm-hmm. No, that was season 2. The end of season 2. Right. Or whether he was really going to die. Because we're like, you're the executive producer. Why would you... You're not going to do that.
Right, exactly. But, I mean, we all thought, like, okay, ain't no way, Kanan. Like,
ain't no way.
Yeah, I mean, but then at the same time, wouldn't that have been playing that card again? Like, that's exactly. Like, that's played out. We can't do that
because
again.
He's going to be
like Superman or, like, you know, I don't know.
Freddy Krueger.
So they couldn't have played that card again. So it was time for him to go. So, you know, RIP to Kanan. Another question that came up was about Clyde Marshall, because they talked about him a little bit in this episode. And you know, that was just the storyline. That's exactly how we saw it, was exactly how it played out. If he was gonna have, you know, unfortunately because of his sickness, if he was
but Charlie Murphy,
yeah, you know, and you know, rest in peace.
Yeah, man.
I watched the Chappelle show this weekend.
Did you have a chance to work with him?
No, I wish I would have had the opportunity to work with him and meet him. That would have been so dope. Love Charlie Murphy. He's super funny.
Of course, yeah.
He's really dope. I worked with him.
So we'll dive back into a couple more questions later. But
okay, so now let's go into Ghost Tasha, Angela, Tree Kanan. Okay, ooh. So in episode 7, we left off when Tasha revealed that she still had the gun. And so Tasha said she's going to take the fall. Then Ghost says, no, he's going to take the fall. So we start back at episode 8 where Angela starts asking him questions. Just, you just boom, boom, just asking
prosecutor
questions.
Angela.
And, which I liked, actually.
Which I really did like that.
Me too. Yeah.
And she says that, listen, this is not going to work. This is all based off of emotions. And this is going to take me down, then Tasha, then Tariq. So then they decide that they need to plant it on somebody. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Ghost wants to do Andre. He sets in plans and motions. He leaves the house, says, hey, you know what, text me on the cell. And then Tasha then says, what about Kanan Stark? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so that's where the story
is. Because it's Tasha's cartel, really. Tasha's running all of this these last few episodes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So I I'll drag Tasha later, but I have to admit that I do love this little Cagney and Lacey thing that Angela and Tasha has. They're good together.
They are, Cagney, but why they gotta be Cagney and Lacey?
I don't know, Thelma Louise?
Give me somebody. I'll just say, you know.
Okay, so Tasha sends for Tariq to come home to speak with Angela. Tariq goes off, blaming her for breaking up the family. Are we surprised by any of Tariq's actions?
No. Not at all.
Justified.
Okay, so then what was the breaking point that changed Tariq's mind? Was it the conversation that he had with his dad, his mom, or Kanan admitting being so ruthless to his own son, Sean?
Inside from Courtney.
Inside, yeah, I was just saying.
Here we go.
And I guess if we paid attention, we can kind of tell throughout the episode what was going on, right? So that powerful scene of Tariq in the car with Kanan, and he's asking him, what I like is that we're seeing Tariq come out of his shell and be like, listen, I bit my tongue for way too long. I got questions.
Right.
And y'all need to answer. So he did start asking the hard questions. You know, how could you kill someone that you love like that? You know what I mean?
Right. And what was confusing to me was that scene happened after he had already allegedly closed the trunk, where I'm assuming where he planted the gun.
Well, what I thought with that, you want to go ahead.
I was going to say, you got to remember when his mother texted him, where you at?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't have to say queen. He could have said somewhere else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's what...
I was going to say.
Right.
He had the moment. He could have set it off at any given time because he had the control. Yeah. Like, he had to text Tasha, I'm with him or whatever.
Okay, so I get it. So he planted it, but he didn't give Tasha the okay until after the...
I was thinking the same exact thing.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Okay. All right. So
so I think just to round that up, I think it was his own, and not I think, but it was his own, you know, coming to his own understanding of, you know, I don't like what you did, homie.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I changed my mind. You know?
Okay. So, go ahead.
I was just going to say, as soon as I saw him say he was in Queens, I knew something was about to go down. Because Tariq doesn't like going home, so I'm chilling, I'm at the hoop, I don't know, he's at Queens. Yeah. Okay, something's about to go down.
Yeah. Okay, so now let's go into the very specifics of Kanan Stark's dying. So Kanan and Tariq gets pulled over. They are asked to look into the trunk. Meanwhile, while this is going on, Ghost goes into the safe to retrieve Tasha's gun. It's not there. Tasha, what? I saw you put your gun in the safe like I told you to. I need it for Dre. Where'd you hide it? Tasha is quiet as a rat pissing on cotton. You don't get nothing from it, right? So he's like, Tasha, where the fuck is the gun? So then the cops open Kanan's trunk and bam.
There's the gun.
Kanan was like, don't sweat that, B ain't nothing
plot
back there.
Twist. All right.
You know, although cops are always trying to make a point, probably sprinkling crack back there, you know, to try and catch me on a charge.
They're sweating me.
Bad news for them. I told you, I ain't going back. And then Tariq, you know, does that. Cops get them, tell them to step out the car. Kanan says, do what they says. So then they find the gun. It's a 380 Micro Eagle. And Kanan says, that's a bitch gun. I don't know how it got back there. Another squad car arrives. Meanwhile, Tommy is waiting for Ghost as they have planned to kill Dre. But he too busy arguing with Tasha. What are you laughing at? Are you fucking kidding me? We a family now? You a family man now? Tasha, you went behind my back. You did this shit? That's right, I did. The same way you went behind my back with Silver.
Yeah.
Boom.
Okay, so...
Boom!
So... Are you really...
Yes!
Totally different.
What?
This is your child. This is your child.
Well, she did put him in harm's way.
She put him in harm's way. This is your child. Terry
thought it all the way through. She had a plan. You got to think about it, too. Tasha's the whole reason why they found Tariq in season 4 when he went to go see Ray Ray to shoot him. So Tasha's not dumb. Tasha can look at a situation, assess it, and break down some areas. Her plan worked.
Ghost made a great point. Kanan's not going down
that's the key.
Shots went down.
You're right. Both of you are right.
Kanan's not going down like that. Tasha said, I'll call it the missing persons. Okay, the cops will bring Tariq in. He will be in police custody. He's safe.
So my point, both of you are right. Jill, you are absolutely right. I think she did. She came up with a brilliant plan. The writers, shout out, because even the way that they wrote that was good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you're right. She thought it all the way through. I love that. That shows how intelligent and how thoughtful Tasha is. But Ghost is Ghost is in these streets, okay? Ghost knows what's up. He grew up with Kane, and he's like, he's not going out like that. So he also knows... He could have predicted what wound up happening in the end anyway.
Yep.
And
the unpredictable part was Kanan not killing
Tariq. Yeah, he had the chance. Yeah.
And so as this is going on, while Tasha says he's safe, now we see Kanan on a killing spree.
Kanan going off.
He's going off. Now remember, Kanan, Tommy, and Ghost, they're pretty much they're trained, they're professionally trained assassins.
Right.
So he wiped the floor with
systematically.
Wiped the floor with everybody.
You know, he went out like a G.
Yep.
He definitely went out like a G.
And did anyone see
Kwame and I, we think the same way in this chat. But I do want to hear your thoughts when you were watching the episode, because honestly, I know that you saw, you know, in the script what was going down had some insight on that. But what, you know, watching the show as a fan, as a viewer, what are your thoughts as well?
As far as the insight, because 50 was by the office like a couple days ago.
Okay.
And I forgot that he was sick when he shot that. They shot that in Far Rock. And he was like sick as a dog. So when he threw up, he really threw up.
Oh.
So as an actor, that performance is crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, he's dope. Like, he's really, I love working with him. Super professional. Yeah. Always on time. Got a million stories. Great personality. He's real fun to work. And he's competitive, so it's real fun working with him. Right. But as a fan, I started to get excited, because it's like, yo, they're really doing it, because we know what we read it and we know what's going to happen. Like at the table reads, we read the script, we know what's going to happen, so you can imagine it. Mm-hmm. But when you really see it going down like that, it's like it blows your mind. Like it's like two different performances.
What you imagine and then what you actually see.
Because like I can imagine it, but then what they actually bring to it, it's like a surprise sometimes.
Whew. Did anyone? I know we made predictions throughout, but did anyone like predict or see? Like that Kanan would be the one to go?
No.
I didn't see that. I told him, like, why would you do that? Like, what are you doing? You're my favorite character on the show. Why would you do that?
Yeah. You know what? Speaking of that, though, I know Kanan, he's got like a strike against him and some bad marks against him, but I like him as a character.
He's
actually likable as a character. So I was like, sad about that.
I'm be honest. I did know that Kanan was gonna die. You have to talk about this.
I heard.
I'll tell you off camera, but I had got word of that storyline, and I heard prior to it happening. But even with that being said, I didn't think like it was a very reliable source, and they broke it down to me. But I was like, but I'm not quite sure. So when it actually happened, I was like, oh wow,
this is really happening.
Yeah, so yeah,
let me tell you when he looked when he was shooting The Last Cop, and he looked at Tyreek,
that scene blew him out.
Gave me chills.
Yeah, that was crazy.
What it took me back to is when he told him in the car, "You don't become a real killer until you kill somebody you love." And I felt like at that moment, even though he didn't pull the trigger on Kanan, he is the one essentially who sent him off.
Oh, so I didn't even think of it.
That was what I thought of. So I felt like that was another transformative moment for him, because he was trapped in the back of the car. Like, just the whole setup was crazy. Yeah. I was like,
I didn't even realize that's dope.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And I think the reason, I'm done being petty on the whose fault it was, but what that scene spoke to me was in regards to Kanan. You know, Kanan has been portrayed by everybody. Ghost and Tasha, they've all portrayed him. He has no friends. Mm-hmm. No one loves him. Jukebox is gone.
Laces.
And Tariq was the only person, you know, he loved Tariq like a son. And then Tariq was the only human being alive that actually loved him back. And so I feel like that's the reason why Tariq is alive. Tariq should have been dead as fried chicken. He should have been gone.
He should have been.
So therefore, Tasha was wrong, because you know that Kanan is a... And he kidnapped a child once. So it wasn't smart, Gio. It was not smart. And the only reason that he's alive was because of the relationship that both Ghost and Tasha knew. They didn't know anything about this relationship. Kanan spared his life because he loved that boy.
The only part that I can see, because I do think it was a well thought out plan, I really do. So I rock with Tasha on that. However, I do think that the not so smart part was, what if Kanan found out before the police even arrived? Like, anything could have happened.
That's
really
your baby.
Yeah. So to put him in that type of harm's way, I could understand how you feel.
Okay, let's. Anything else? Okay, so let's skip. So once they are at the police precinct, we see them being in question. Let's talk about Keisha just for a second. So Keisha takes a huge one for Tasha. I put in my notes, Tasha,
she didn't take that for Tasha,
but
she took it for Tommy.
Tasha may have asked her, but if Tommy had not said, I need this too, it protects me. Yeah, she did it for Tasha, but that was for Tommy and the family that she envisionizes coming together, in spite of Connie's comment. But anyway.
Okay, I think she owes Tasha a lot, and I think Tasha always loves to talk about how ghost is selfish. Tasha's pretty effing selfish herself, because look at how she treats Keisha. And regardless if it was Tommy who twisted Keisha's arm, the fact that she did that and she lied the way that she did, she needs to pay that girl's rent and have groceries at the first of 15th of every month. Seriously.
Yeah, it's hilarious. And I hear you on that. The only thing is, I don't think that Tasha's being that way intentionally. That's the difference. I think... You really think so?
Yes, I don't think so. I think she's doing it because she wants to save her own ass, and she's not thinking about...
She wants to save her family, and beyond that...
But you want your friend to...
Jump in, Michael!
Keisha is the key. We need it. And what is the thing? I immediately went back to, what did Keisha say to Tommy? Like what she said to Ghost back in the day? You better keep, you know, making her happy. Not the vulgar version. Uh-huh. But, you know, Keisha was taking care of her new family.
Okay.
I was going to just say, I think Tasha is more like Ghost, where she only cares about herself and her family. That's why they,
That's why they work so well together. What's your thoughts on the family?
The family dinner? Oh, I'm just saying, Connie hit her with the, you have a cook? I knew what that meant. You already talked about you were bringing the girl to get together. So I was like, okay, Connie, I'm rocked with you. But now I don't know. But I appreciated the real moments when she told Keisha, listen, this life, it's not going to be easy. So
now let me drag Keisha. So while they're at the dinner, Tommy says, you know, she knows everything that, you know, she knows everything, and we've been through a lot. What the hell have y'all been through?
Remember
together
Tommy,
as a relationship? Yes,
I'm about to tell you.
Go ahead.
Remember Tommy stashed Keisha away for all those months when the relationship first developed.
Yep.
She was right there when the feds came to shut down the weave shop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, so they have been through some things. It may not have been a typical relationship thing, but they have definitely been through some life and death circumstances. And Keisha wants a man. She wants a family. She wants to feel cared for. She wants to feel like somebody has her back the way Ghost and Tasha are. Or were, well, or
me,
whatever.
Well, let me apologize to you. You are absolutely right.
You are passionate.
I'm saying,
you
know,
I tend to get popcorn.
Keisha had some really good scenes, and coming up, it's going to be really, really good scenes.
We heard,
I can't wait to see it.
We heard that there's more, so I'm happy about that.
Lala's dope.
Yeah, we love her. Yeah. Shout out to her. Real quick, After Buzzers, you know our network produces after shows for all your favorite shows, drama, reality TV, sci-fi. There's no network that works harder to serve the fans. We are trying to be, well, we are, the ESPN of TV.
That's right.
So what we need you to do is subscribe to this channel. You don't have to worry about all the alerts for the other shows. You only get it for this one. Make sure you are leaving thumbs up. Go to iTunes, leave us 5 stars, download it there, and we appreciate you. Drop it in the comments. Once you did, we'll shout you out.
Hey, so going back to Ghost, Tasha, and them at the police station, they're waiting for Tariq to come out. They look at each other, they roll their eyes. Just I love their, you remember Ghost and Tasha, how they were seeing each other?
I felt the plan coming together. What upset me about that scene overall is, why is Angela waltzing her ass in there to return the evidence? I just felt like overkill.
And the song that was playing, the lyrics was I was playing you, by the way. I don't know who was. So do you think Tariq's confession was it the guilt that he felt for getting his sister killed? Was it his moment to finally feel, you know, about his sister? Do you think it had anything to do with just what do you think about his confession?
Go ahead, Jimmy.
Michael Rainey Jr., can we give him a round of
applause? Because that performance,
was crazy.
Yeah. I think that he already had his real true moment when he was in the car with Tasha several episodes ago about his sister. Yeah, remember she was dropping him off at
Chase, was it?
Yeah. So she was dropping him off, and remember they had that real talk. Choke. That was his moment. Mm-hmm. That was their real moment to, you know, for him to have emotionally, you know, gone there. But this one, I think Tariq is just in the game right now. Tariq just knows what's up. He's like, I'm on board. What you need me to do? Like, you know, so he was playing along with it. And I think he killed that part.
I was going to say, I think Tasha sees that he's the man that she wanted Ghost to be.
That's good.
We don't have enough time for me to.
I really want to hear what you have to say about it.
Listen, can we not forget, like, Tariq is upset with his dad, but let's not forget that Tasha's not completely honest. You know, she was effing with Sean, and if Tariq knew that, he would probably be mad at his mom too. So let's
keep it real. But what does that have to do with the current moment, though?
Because I'm petty, but let's not forget, as I've always said, this all stems because Tasha did not want to support the man. She wanted this hardcore
man, going back there.
Courtney even said,
I don't believe, yeah, but I'm still here.
Courtney said when they were going in on her comments on Instagram, and somebody mentioned that, she was like, look, Tasha said in season 3, I think she said it was season 3, episode 8 or 7, I can't remember, but it's on her Instagram, that she apologized to Ghost for that. So we've been resolved that problem, and she solved it. And Tariq is in his bag, just like he was in the yard shack with the car and all of that stuff. Like Robin said, he's ready to play.
What bothers me about this Tariq thing is Tariq is so oblivious to this whole situation. Like, to be honest, Tariq is the one that should be in jail, because
Tariq is ungrateful when you really think about it. Because
he is the reason
why they're in this whole shit in the first place.
Yeah, y'all bugging, first of all. Y'all about to make me go on my screen. No, but I'm going to say this, though. Because we talked about this before. Tariq has every right to, you know, he is acting bad. He's done some things. He's done his dirt. I get that. But he's got the right to. His parents come from a place where they're not keeping it real with him. Yep. They can hit everything from him. So all of this is a result of that.
Yep.
The fact that, you know, Kanan is now put him on so much game. You know what I'm saying? It was him and not even Ghost who really put him on. Yeah. So the fact that he was in that interrogation room and able to do what he did is a learned thing. And I think he got that from Kanan.
Unrehearsed.
Which, too, shout out to Kanan. He said, what do they teach you in school?
Man.
He said this, and this. And he said, exactly. They ain't teaching you.
What's teaching you?
Because the reality is, like Courtney said, Tariq is, he is both his mom and his dad.
The
fact that he knows Italian and his dad knows Spanish is going to pay off in the long end when I think Tariq starts working and taking over the Italian.
The fact that he actually does speak Italian in real life, I think, is amazing.
Did you notice how Michael Rainey Jr., the the guy who plays it, he posted a clip from him in a movie.
Yes, doing, his first
when
movie.
When he was younger.
When he's lived speaking in Italy. Italian.
Yeah, he's a beast.
He did
he's
that on purpose. Like, I felt that there was a reason that he posted
yeah.
that.
Okay, go ahead.
We have to move on. Okay, so so we have Tommy, Ghost, and Kanan. Kanan's final conversation with Tommy, just open discussion. Can Tommy and Ghost repair this brotherhood? What do you think? Michael?
Can they repair listen, I think this. They can be brothers, mm-hmm. but Ghost doesn't want to sell drugs. Tommy wants to sell drugs. So they can be brothers, but they have to love each other from a distance.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that hurts my heart. And even when Tommy said to Keisha, he was like, we ain't never got to see them again. I was like, ouch, eek. You know, so it hurts my heart. But I definitely agree. It's like they're just on two different pages.
Yeah, they're on two different pages.
Let's go to the task force really quick. So they thought that they had something going until they realized that the footage of the killing was not there at the precinct to try and take Ghost or to take James St. Patrick down. So in the meanwhile, Tamika says that Tamika tells John Mock that keep your mouth closed, don't tell Angela about this. Mm-hmm. John Mock actually bites. He tells Angela after being told that he's supposed to keep his mouth closed. And so it looks like John Mock wants that job in D.C. And since Steve Tampio will be back in episode 10, which we know because we got the inside, could this really happen? And then will he help save Angela's ass in regards to...
That'd be wild.
To that.
Would be wild.
I mean, he wants the job. I told you, he's not a white hat.
Yeah,
he wants power.
Yeah, we knew he wanted that.
So we're gonna see what happens. Proctor probably put a nice little wrench in everybody's plan because it looked like everybody was gonna get their happy ending. Mm-hmm. But
so let's go into Proctor. So
the snitch.
So what's your first? I have to. Okay. Do you think that Proctor has a right to? I don't know. Save his ass or like? What's your take? You think he's a snitch?
I think he's moving foolish because if they actually had a witness to the crime, then they wouldn't need him. They wouldn't need his intel. Mm-hmm. And I think he's being foolish not thinking about that, and he's letting them trip himself up, and he's acting like an amateur. Because if he just thought for a little bit, he would know that they're trying to play him again. And you already had a thought about Terezi, so I feel like he's not putting together the dots because he's panicking.
And speaking of being foolish quick, the scene where Proctor and Cousin Benny, when Proctor spilled his beans all to his cousin, this, and this. Mm-hmm. We saw our Cousin Benny walking out of the police station. We still don't know why. I predict...
No, we know why. Because John Mock says we're here to find out about your cousin's social. We're here to find out about your social life through your
and
cousin.
Like who you've been hanging with. I think they wired him up. And when
the cousin?
And when Proctor was inside the car spilling all the beans.
Oh my gosh. Whoa.
Because that conversation was all about loyalty. And writing wise, it would be ironic he's speaking about that and his own cousin is playing him behind his back to save his own ass.
Ooh, that makes me uncomfortable.
Deep. Yeah.
I'll say this. So in the conversation between Proctor and Ghost clearly was like, nope.
Exactly.
Oh, but Ghost was playing it off, though. Yeah.
But once again, here's the thing. Once again, this is my problem with Proctor. Two weeks ago, you know, whatever the time period is, you were like, I don't want to know. I don't want to be involved. Now you're like, let me help you. Tell me everything.
Mm-hmm. But you know what I think, though? I do think that Proctor is now in a position. I love the fact that he had that conversation with Benny in the car because... First of all, that showed us a backside that we didn't know. We didn't know all that information. I didn't know that he was strong-armed into working for Ghost and Tommy.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, we did.
You don't remember that? Yeah.
I don't remember.
Wait, Tommy kind of, you know.
Yeah,
because of the whole...
You're going to help us out.
Yeah. He's always okay, and we did know that it was the drug thing with the wife or whatever. Okay, well... regardless of that, I think that he's sort of like pulling at strings right now, like something to save himself. And he is just like, you know, and I think that he feels very comfortable. The fact that he's got this, that laptop still, that is his prize possession, you know, that can help, you know, maybe save him.
I can borderline defend Proctor because you got Tommy who's making tons of threats at him and he fears for his life. But I do wish that he would grow balls and stop letting the task force punk him because, like you said, they clearly don't have anything, which is why they keep going to him. But John Mock told Angela that there's a witness and that is some old guy. Mm-hmm. Tasha knows through Keisha that Tommy's dad is alive. Cagney and Lacey are going to come together, and she's going to figure out that it's Teresi, and I think that that's going to be a part of how they're going to be able to save themselves with that, because Teresi is the witness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do we
have any questions for Mike?
Literally hundreds and hundreds of things that are going on in here. Yeah. Everybody has something to say about all of it. Let me find some because there's some in here.
So while he's doing that, we're going to wrap soon. I want to ask a couple questions. This, according to IMBD, this is your first acting job?
Oh, yes, yes.
Wow. Amazing. Yes.
Thank you.
That's real right there.
Thank you.
So, So you mentioned how you were like an extra on Power. So did you have an agent at the time? How did you transition from doing a background role to getting the audition to read for Tulip?
I would say I was born for this. Mm-hmm. This was destiny. Mm-hmm. I didn't have an agent. I took it in the end of 2012. I took an acting class. Mm-hmm. By the end of 2013, I was doing extra work, mm-hmm. and by the end of 2014, I got the audition, no agent, mm-hmm. wow. booked the job, and I just got an agent. It's August. Mm-hmm. I just got an agent December.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Congratulations. Yeah, that sounds like the stars in alignment for you. Man, you know what I mean?
And not to be super, super nosy, but you did just move to LA, which means that you're probably going on more auditions. Have you booked anything?
Where can we see you?
Yeah.
I'm still auditioning. Okay. I had an audition earlier, so hopefully that goes well.
Okay. Pilot season's coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. So I'll be out here. I'm working.
Okay, nice. And I think it's safe that that 2Bit is coming back in season 6. So
nobody's safe. We don't know what's going to happen.
I mean, listen, I would love to kill your character off because I think not too much.
No, we need some 2Bit and Spanky in our lives.
But the rest of everybody's gone. Victor, like there's no one gone, and there's still the Maria, the sword. Like there's some other stories from Tommy and Ghost's past
that still
needs to come once they take care of this big stuff in episodes 9 and 10. So I don't. Just logically, it doesn't make sense. I mean, I'm not a writer or anything, but it makes sense. Did you find?
No, but I have a question for you. Being that this is your first like real acting job, how were you able to develop this character and say, okay, this is the way I'm going to play him? Did you get any help, any insight, or all you?
I work with acting coaches.
Okay.
I got some of the best acting coaches in the business. So.
Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. That's dope.
And, just talking to other actors mm-hmm. and then being on set, like that's like the best experience because you're learning on the job and they're telling you, like they tell you different, they tell you different things that will help you work perform.
Yeah, that's dope. Okay, nice. Very nice.
Drop a prediction each. Okay, so let me play it this way. Not Michael J. Ferguson, the actor, but as a fan of Power, give us a prediction.
Oh man. For which episode?
You want to do. There's not episodes.
Two
9
left
to 10.
Episodes left.
We'll let you think. Hit it, Robin.
I just predict that something major is still going down, and I'm nervous about it.
That's generic. You can't. That's not.
I still think Tommy is on the chopping block.
Yeah.
I think Tommy is a goner. Mm. That's or me. Tasha. I still think it's Tommy or Tasha, Tommy and I'm Tasha. Very, very scared about that.
Yeah, I'm thinking Tommy is the odd man out.
I don't know what's going to go down the rest of this season, but I'm looking forward for season 6 for Tariq, because now that he's already been introduced to the Italians he can speak Italian.
The college version.
I think that, it was mentioned that Andre is going to Paris.
Mm-hmm. Not no more.
He ain't going nowhere.
No,
he's not going to make it on. He's not going to make it on the plane.
So you predict by season 6 he's out by the end of this season?
I think if he's not, I believe that there's going to be at least one more major death. Like somebody huge is going to die. Mm-hmm. And I'm on the fence. I don't think it's Dre only because we want him to go, but then Courtney did also say that they thought about killing him in episode 1. So it's on their mind. So mm-hmm. it's either Dre or Tommy mm-hmm. To go. And then I think there's one more in the mix, but I also think that I forgot. Go ahead. We'll end with you.
I was gonna say, I predict episode 9 is gonna be a great episode.
That's what he's doing though, right?
And that episode is written by the episode will be
Gary Lennon.
And he also directed it, who's
dope,
also
dope writer.
He's the co
He directed it. Yeah, you're right.
And he's been on the show before, so shout out to Gary.
Shout out to Gary.
So we want to thank our guest. Let everyone know where you can be found on social media.
Oh, I'm on Instagram at MichaelJ.Ferguson.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Cool. You guys can find me on all of my social media platforms at Robin Ayers.
And hey guys, this is my last show. I will not be here for the last two shows. Teardrop. I'm going on vacation though.
Okay, turn up.
At Stiletto Jill. I will add my comments there. Mm.
Yes.
Everywhere.
It's your man Jimmy V at The Jimmy V.
And you can find me on all social media at Bam Erickson. We want to thank our special guest, Mr. Omar Schwarkes. Who joined us live via Skype, and to our man, Mr. Michael J. Ferguson, who plays 2-Bit.
Hey.
Thank you for having me up here.
Thank you so much. You're family now. You're welcome anytime.
Much success to you.
I'll stop in.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you guys for watching. Thank you guys to the live chat room.
Appreciate
y'all. Thank you guys on social media. Episodes 9 and 10, according to the streets. And you know I keep my ears close to the street. Episodes 9 and 10 is fire. And
that's all. Can't wait. That's all. Can't wait.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Bye.
See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.